Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Friday, August 7th, Patriots podcast, training camp podcast here at Gillette Stadium. Andy and Paula with you. A very short day today for the Patriots, but we're not short on news, Andy, because we have a fairly significant trade to discuss. The Patriots had a walkthrough this morning, and at the end of said walkthrough, Bill Belichick decided to let the team know the afternoon practice was canceled, so they are going to have the rest of the day on Friday, all of Saturday off, and they will hit the practice fields again on Sunday, presumably with a new player in tow named Derek Burgess, who they acquired from the Oakland Raiders late on in the afternoon on Thursday. Several reports have indicated that they were a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick, but the fourth-round pick is somewhat conditional. It could be a fifth if and when the Patriots acquire one, and Bill Belichick just addressed the media and let us know that some of these details and the conditions of the compensation may not be completely worked out for weeks. So,
which tells me it's going to be a third and a fifth when he gets a fifth.
Absolutely.
Because the next 2 weeks will be spent getting a fifth somewhere.
But more importantly than worrying about exactly what the compensation is, Andy, your gut reaction right off the top, Derek Burgess is a Patriot.
Love it. I think the best team in football, arguably, just pinpointed its greatest need, its thinnest spot, and added a proven playmaker at that spot. Now, whether it'll be perfect, whether he's going to come in here and all of a sudden he flashes back a couple of years and he's a double-digit sack guy, I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting how Bill described Derek Burgess, emphasizing not just his pass rush ability, but how strong he plays and his ability to play the run, primarily a left defensive player where he, you know, has put pressure on the quarterback from the front side of most right-handed quarterbacks, which is a little bit different. You don't think of elite rushers coming from there. They usually take advantage of that blind side, as everyone knows about. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in because, A, he's not a 100% outside linebacker. He's done it out there for Rob Ryan and various packages that they've had. But the other thing is, Adalis Thomas has been primarily a left player here in New England. Pierre Woods has been playing on the right side in camp. Mike Vrabel played on the right side a lot when he was here. So I'll be interested to see how not only it shakes down in terms of reps. Is he a two-down player? Does he come in on only passing situations? But also how it shakes down left and right with Adalis Thomas and some of the other guys.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it will be interesting to see. And he was even talking about, you know, the hand down and standing up, like you said, Andy. And I think it's going to be really interesting to find out exactly how he wants to employ him. I think on the surface, without having seen him, he was not part of the walkthrough today. We should probably stress that. We did get a chance to
walk. In the air, I believe.
About a 90-minute walkthrough today the team went through, and Derek Burgess was not part of that. They are hoping to get him available at some point today via conference call, but I think Andy's right. I think he's probably en route, and my guess is that might not happen today.
If it does happen, it'll be on Patriots.com.
If and when it does happen, you can check Patriots.com for that. But I am really going to be interested to see exactly how they use him. Not so much defensive end or outside linebacker, or hand down or standing up or whatever, but will he be a three-down player or will he be a situational player? And I'm not really sure exactly how that fits. Now, if he's an every-down player, Andy, and they want to play him up front with his hand down, that's got to be the final piece to the puzzle of whether or not they're going to play with a four-man front for the majority of the time, don't you think?
We've seen enough of it in camp with guys like Pierre Woods, like Rob Ninkovich, Tully Bantakane when he was healthy, playing with their hand down as defensive ends in four-man fronts. So, yeah, I got to think if we continue to see a lot of that, then that's what you're going to see a good portion of heading into the regular season. It'll be interesting to see just practice-wise starting Sunday or Monday as they start to prepare for the Eagles, but also what you see Derek Burgess doing. Is it a lot of drops? Is it a lot of linebacker-type work? Or sticking sort of to his roots and with his hand down or rushing the passer? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, but I don't see how you can be anything but upbeat and positive. I mean, he's the guy in his last year of his contract making about $2 million. So the price is right. To me, the price is right in terms of a trade. And this feels like, and I know a lot of people have made these comparisons, the Ted Washington move, where you had kind of one last glaring need on the team, and you filled it via trade in the preseason, a little bit earlier this time, but I don't see, you know, and I think that's going to be the perception nationally, too, is the rich get richer. You know, they're already the favorites to win the Super Bowl, and now they're plugging their holes. And I think it carries over into what we talked about, the secondary, which we all believe is talented, and there's some playmakers there, but maybe we'll struggle a little bit early in the year. Well, now maybe they're going to get a little boost from a pass rush that they may not have had without this trade. So as a Patriots fan, I think you have to be excited about it.
And Bill talked about all of those different areas, talked about how you can, you know, good pass rushers are hard to find. You can never have enough of them. If you could put consistent pressure on the passer, obviously that's less time that you have to cover. It helps you in so many different ways. Bill touched on all of those areas. The first thing I thought of yesterday when I found it out was I had a recreation of the Andy Hart. Patriots just became the second-best team in the AFC when Pittsburgh drafted Rashard Mendenhall. Well,
right.
The Patriots solidified their spot as the best team in the NFL, in my mind.
I wouldn't be booking any vacations in January or
nope.
February.
With the acquisition of Derek Burgess. We already thought they were a strong front-runner, but now, like you said, the Ted Washington thing, I think it's a perfect parallel. It was like this great team that seemed to have one hole.
A fatal flaw.
You know, and you wonder, would it be a fatal flaw? Well, we never found out in 03 because they acquired Ted Washington.
And I don't think we will this year
and
now.
I don't think
you're
going to find out now.
Because now everyone else, all the dominoes slide down a slot. Pierre Woods, a little less pressure. Sean Crable, now maybe he actually does get out there and can kind of get assimilated into the defense, slowly work his way in rather than having to be that, well, he's got to be a playmaker on third down. We got nobody else. He needs to do it.
Right.
Or even a Ninkovich or Tully Vantakane. All these guys kind of get pushed down a little bit. And I think you see the added depth there. I think it's a great move.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. A couple of the other things. Now, they're not going to get back on the practice field. And Bill talked about being pretty happy with the level of competition that he said last night they kind of put at the season ticket holder practice. They put a wrap on a pretty good week of work. This morning they spent the walkthrough sort of correcting some of the mistakes that they wanted to kind of clean up and work on. And the next day or a day and a half or so is going to be spent for the coaching staff sort of recalibrating everything that they need to do, almost like that self-scouting period that they go through during the bye week sometimes. So that's what's going to be happening with the coaching staff. And then the players presumably hit the field on Sunday a little bit recharged and ready to go. And the focus turns a little bit, you know, in addition to the daily training camp grind, to Philadelphia, which is coming up quickly. It's a short week, as Bill said. And you know, Andy, for every short week,
it's a long one.
Right.
And this past one felt like a long one.
It was a very long one. And they're going to play the Eagles next Thursday. So they'll have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to sort of mix in their training camp rituals along with some game plan stuff for Philadelphia. They'll have a walkthrough on Wednesday, and we'll be off to Philadelphia.
And you also have, over this afternoon and tomorrow, I would assume, Derek Burgess getting with Matt Patricia and Dean Pease and the coaches on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe getting a day-and-a-half crash course in the New England defense that should benefit him when he first gets out there
right.
to take reps. So, you know, I think that'll be an advantage for him, not having to come right out and practice twice in one day while still trying to learn the defense. He's got a little bit of a cushion there to get moving.
Yeah, and Bill talked about Burgess, you know, like you said, Andy. I was sort of interested in the one thing, getting back to him, about how strong he was and about how he wasn't strictly a pass rusher. Because I kind of thought of him as that. I thought he was one of those guys, he just went after the passer every play.
Well, it's one of those things. At 6'2", 260 in his strength, if you're an end, you're undersized and you're fighting an uphill battle.
So you run at him.
If you're a linebacker and you're seen as a linebacker, now you're a big linebacker and you're stronger. So perception reality depends, you know, kind of what you're expecting from the spot.
Yeah.
But I certainly think you would perceive him to be more of an edge presence in the mold of an outside linebacker than you would, say, a Sean Crable, who I think at this point in his development would have to be a pass rush specialist. So, yeah, I think it's a good move on the edge there.
All right, so we're going to have some time off now. The team is going to have some time off until Sunday. We will be back with our next training camp podcast on Monday. We have some paper duties to get straightened out with our printing issues on Sunday. So we will have the updates up on Patriots.com, so make sure you check the blog. Make sure you check the Patriots.com site, and also check out Patriots Today. They'll be putting up updates every day as well. But for now, Andy and Paul are going to sign off. We'll see you on Monday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.